The Holy Gospel is taken from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning from verse 34. Glory to Christ our Saviour. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." This is the Gospel of Christ. Please be seated. This morning, we are tremendously blessed to have Pastor Bill Wilson to share with us. Pastor Bill was abandoned on the street corner by his mother at the young age of 12. And the young Bill Wilson gave his heart to God at a youth camp. And this was the start of an incredible journey, incredible walk with the Lord, one that will affect hundreds of thousands of lives all over the world. Pastor Bill established Metro World Child in 1980 in Brooklyn, New York, and he persevered through the very, very difficult times. Today, his unique concepts of outreach and Sunday school ministries and programs are replicated globally in over 20 countries and serve over 300,000 children weekly. Metro World Child is now the largest Sunday school in the world. After over 50 years of full-time ministry, Pastor Bill has authored many books, including his best-selling autobiography, Whose Child Is This?, and the most recent, Elephants of Relevance. He holds a PhD from University of Wales and an MD from University of Paris. He speaks and lectures regularly at university seminars, travels weekly, receiving invitations to churches and conferences, where he shares the vision and mission of Metro World Child, and that one person can really make a difference. I'm glad, I'm thankful for Pastor Daniel. Daniel Wee, as he introduced us, as we had lunch just a couple of days back. And what struck me is not all that list of credentials, but his very pastoral heart and his passion for Jesus and his passion for the children that he ministers to. And I pray that that infectious passion we will catch. So before we invite Pastor Bill to the pulpit, here's a short introductory video.
It's all the same. Well, give the Lord a praise. Come on. Give him praise. Good morning, good morning. I wanted them to see that, play that video, just so you could see me carrying the gun. Because I knew that would nervous some of you guys. I know it's Singapore, I'm American, so you guys know how it goes. But we've had a good weekend. I mean, we've had a great weekend. Last night, this morning, first service. And I was very quick to explain to the folks why I was wearing my field jacket, because some of you may or may not know what's been going on with me, hence the bandages and all. I got blown up in a drone attack about 4 weeks ago in Ukraine. I have been in the middle of a very delicate operation that I've been dealing with. I won't go into a lot of details because a lot of it's just classified. I can tell you as much as I can tell you, but I was invited by a government to go get information on a court trial that's coming up in the near future. I knew exactly what I needed to do, but when I got across the border, some of you, I don't know how many of you keep up with what goes on with the war over there. And I don't know what your opinion is. I'm not here to ask your opinion. I'm just saying that's where I've been for the last several weeks. And when I saw the kids that had been put into these filtration camps, because what you guys have, maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but the Russians have been going into, right from the beginning of the war, from 15 months ago, Russians have going into parts of Ukraine, stealing the little kids from their families, taking them into Russia, and putting them into what they call filtration camps, trying to make them Russian citizens, taking their citizenship away from Ukraine, going into these camps. And when I got there, it was across the border outside of Belgorod, Russia, and I did what I needed to do, got the information, but then I saw the kids, and I thought, okay, I've done the job that they sent me to do, but I can't leave these kids here. You understand? Okay. Some of you need to go with me sometime. Go with me on some of these places I go. It'll help you to understand the real urgency of life. And I saw this one little boy. He was 7 years old, and one of the Russian soldiers, when they took him to the filtration camp, they took a pair of scissors and cut his tongue out. I saw another little girl, Anna. She stepped on a landmine, blew both of her legs off, just below the knee. Another little girl, Lily, we got her out of there yesterday and got her home back to Ukraine. And somebody took a machete, chopped her ear off. I want you guys to understand that I'm not wearing this jacket just to wear the jacket. This is the jacket that I wore when I was caught in the drone attack, blew up. I've got 3 broken ribs. I've got a punctured lung. The U.S. military said, you cannot get on a flight. You cannot go that long of a flight to get over here. I said I was going to be here. I'm here. And I thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. One of the things I say on television and on pastor schools, your commitment has to be stronger than your emotions. That was worth you coming today. If you don't get anything out of this message, get your commitment has got to be stronger than your emotions, because you and I both know most Christians live on their emotions. It's all about how you feel. Nobody cares how you feel. I got 95 kids that leave Russia tonight on 2 trucks. We're going to get them out of the border and get them home. So my mind's here with you guys right now. And I'll shake your hand. I'll sign your book. We'll take pictures after the service is done. But let me tell you something. At 10 o'clock tonight, you know what's got to be done. We're going to get 2 more trucks, 95 more kids, get them across the border, do an all-night run, and get them back home. And this is the field jacket that I wore when I was on the field. So I wear it. I made a commitment because I saw 500 little kids stuck now without food and have been without food. That's why there's an urgency of doing what I'm doing and even talking to you guys today. That's why I wanted you to understand where I'm at, not just because of my internal injuries that I'm dealing with, but because there's something much bigger than me that's got to be done within these next couple of weeks. I got to get the rest of those kids out of there. And I made the commitment I wasn't going to not wear this jacket preaching on a Sunday, even if people in this part of the world got offended. That mattered to me. I wear this because my commitment was I'm not taking this off until I got all those kids back home. So when I ask you to pray tonight, 10 o'clock, pray for those kids. Pray for those 95 kids. We're going to load them in those 2 trucks. And these next couple of weeks are crucial. Crucial to get those kids back home. I've been coming to Singapore for about 25 years. And I will tell you this, not because I'm a guest speaker, because I'm way past that. I've been doing this 50 years. I'm going to be 75 years old in a couple of months. I'm too old to play games. See, when you're a young preacher, you try to impress people. I don't care if you like me. I'm 75. It doesn't matter anymore. I just know what's got to be done. And we're going to make a difference, whether it's in Ukraine, whether it's in Africa, 3 more countries. We've started Metro Sunday School. We're starting that in just a couple of weeks. So when I talked to you today, you saw the video. You know what I do. You know what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. But I want to just say thank you. Thank you, sir, for allowing me to be here. Thank you. I knew that today was going to be a different service. You guys going to give me one of these robes? Because I feel like I'm really way underdressed for this thing today. I kind of feel like I need a robe or something. But I got the field jacket, so this is the best I got. I apologize. But you got an extra one back there I can take back? I apologize. Thank you. Thank you. But I wanted to tell him, I want to tell you guys, thank you for making me feel welcome. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for allowing me to share with you some real life stuff, that there are lives in the balance, getting ready to be put on 2 trucks and going into the combat zone. So I thank you. Tonight, don't forget the kids, okay? Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate you. Thanks for letting me be here. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Well, there's a lot of things outside. I've been trying to figure out the concourse. They keep telling me it's a different name, but it's the concourse. Is that right? I haven't been able to get that name right, but after the service, I'm going to be there. I hope I'll get a chance to shake your hand, hug your neck, tell you I appreciate you praying for me, praying for the kids. And there's a lot of things to look at. The book, of course, Whose Child Is This? Pastor mentioned it. It's the book that is written in 32 different languages. And if we can get that up on the screen, thank you. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. But it will force you to look at yourself through a different set of eyes. That's why I don't know how many books I've written. As the services went on, you knew more about me. You learned more about me. And so my introduction was getting better and better as the weekend When if I had one more service, man, I may have another degree I can add to the collection. But if you guys have not read this book, it's a great introduction to how Metro has become the largest Sunday school, as Pastor said, in the world today. Who has never read this book? Let me see. Never read the book. Hold up your hand. Hold up your hand. Oh. I've been coming here 25 years ago, and you guys still haven't read the book. Okay, that's disappointing. Now let's do it again. Who's never read the book? Hold up your hand. Let me look. Bunch of you. Oh, okay. Here we go. I always like to give free stuff away, but it's only for the people here. Those of you in the cheap seats, you get nothing up there. You got your hand up, right? Yeah. There you go. Merry Christmas. All right, man. All right. So the other book, Elephants of Relevance, we were joking about it in the last service last night. This is my latest book. It was just kind of a mistake. People have been asking me the last couple of years, because I've been shot twice, and now we got blown up in this drone strike. So I think people always said I was a little crazy, and now they're convinced. So I started putting a bunch of principles that I picked up over these 50 years of full-time ministry. And people over in this part of the world have got this book and are using it as a study guide in their small groups. So it was great. But see, this is a hardback book. So if you share some of these principles with people you know, somebody's going to get offended. Because some of the stuff in here, it's pretty in your face. But it's okay because it's a hardback. So if somebody gets offended, you just smack them in the head in Jesus' name. Because if you're going to smack somebody in church, you got to try to make it spiritual. So anybody here have a friend that needs to get smacked in the head? Anybody? Some of you I'm sure do. So I'll be at the back, and if I need to smack you in the head, I can do that as well. But there's a lot of things back there. I was hoping the kids would have been here. There's no little ones in here. If your parents are still here, these are our T-shirts that the kids in our Sunday school in Brooklyn wear. So if you've got your kid after we're done, bring back in the back. We'll get him a shirt, and we'll make him a Pastor Bill T-shirt person. So there's a lot of stuff back there. I'm not going to talk about a lot of it. The bracelets, of course, I've mentioned these in every service. I saw my second trip to the Philippines. I saw the ladies waiting for the garbage truck. They live in a garbage dump. You guys know how it is in the Philippines. And they're waiting to see what comes in on the garbage truck. I'm thinking they were looking for food. And I asked one of our staff, I said, what are they looking for? When the trucks are dumping the garbage, he said, Pastor Bill, they're looking for magazine covers, the glossy magazine covers. What they do, they take the cover of the magazine and they rip it in strips, wet it, roll it up, and they make these beads. And they put these together as bracelets and they sell these on the street in downtown Manila. When I saw the ladies doing this, because they were doing this to feed their kids. So they sell these things on the street. So I thought, I'm just going to start taking these with me everywhere I go. So when you see these at the back, there's no set price for these. It's whatever you want to give. It goes to the ladies to feed their family. And you can't get this on Amazon or some of those other cheap things that you guys buy on Amazon. This is the real stuff. Just so you understand. And I tell people, get this, wear the bracelet. And what does that do? It reminds you to pray for the kids, pray for the moms. So a lot of things out there. We had somebody ask me about this. I said this on television. And so he said, Pastor Bill, you need to put that on a little tote bag or something. I said, perfect. It says, follow your heart. But take your brain along for backup. Somebody here needs this bag. Follow your heart, Take your brain for backup, folks. Just good advice on a Sunday morning. All right? But the last thing, and I always keep this for last. So I'm going to slow it down just a minute because I need you to follow me on this. Pastor told you a little bit about my situation when my mother, and I didn't get a chance to say much about that time in my life because I didn't have enough time. But I've got a little bit of time here. My mom was an alcoholic. Long story. I was 12 years old. We were standing on a street corner, and she looked at me and she said, "I can't do this anymore." She said, "You wait here." And she walked away. She left me on the corner. I sat there for 3 days. No food, no water. Until one ordinary Christian stopped. Ordinary, operative word. Ordinary Christian. He was actually driving to the hospital to visit his own son who was dying of leukemia. But he seen me sitting on that same street corner. And on a third afternoon, he pulled over, put his hand on my shoulder, and just asked me if I was okay. Now stay with me here, because I need you guys to get this. Put his hand on my shoulder and just asked me, "Are you okay?" Now, we had 320,000 kids in Metro Sunday School last week. And you know how that happened? You know now. Because in 1960, one ordinary Christian chose to stop and check on me. My own mother didn't want me, but the Christian chose to stop. He said, "You okay?" And I used to stutter really bad. I could never talk right. And even sometimes now, especially with all these injuries, I have a hard time sometimes. I told him, "My mother's gone and I'm just hungry." And immediately, when he knew that, he didn't have to go to a seminar. He didn't have to go to a conference. You know what I'm saying? He said, "Yeah, okay." He got a Coke, got a burger, made some phone calls, and 5 hours. 5 hours after this meeting on the street corner, he sponsored me, loads me in a church van, sends me to a Sunday school camp, and I heard the story of Jesus for the first time, gave my life to Christ, and my whole life, my entire future. You want to talk about defining moments? I talk about defining moments when I teach in university. Defining moments usually never come announced. You just have to be sharp enough and astute enough to be prepared when God opens a door and there's a defining moment that moves you, that presses you, that moves you into your destiny. Defining moments. I was 12 years old, man. I didn't know when I came to that Sunday school camp that was going to be the defining moment in my life. But because the one Christian stopped, 300,000 kids a week now hear the story of Jesus because one Christian. Yeah. That's what this is, guys. You will see these pictures on the concourse. Our team will be there. The Metro people will help you answer any questions you got. You will have a chance to sponsor one of the kids that we have committed our lives to, literally. I've got kids from Metro Philippines. You want to go with me? Every March, I take 40 Asians. Go with me. Spend a week doing Sunday school with me in the garbage dump, in the cemetery. We do Sunday school in the cemetery, North Cemetery, downtown Manila on Friday. Come with me. You all know you're blessed living here in Singapore, correct? Do you understand that? Or do you want me to draw you a picture? Because I could if you want me to. So let me ask you one of the existential questions that I would ask students in university. Why were you born here and not in a garbage dump? You ever ask yourself that? Maybe you ought to. To whom much is given, Much is required. You understand that. So do I. Anybody could have picked me up off the street in those 3 days. Could have been a gang member, drug dealer, pedophile. But the one that stopped was the ordinary Christian. And he put my life in a whole different trajectory. That's all I'm asking you to do today. This is very personal to me because I was this kid. These are not stock photographs from National Geographic. These are the kids that our team lives with, that we connect with. Go with me to the Philippines. When you sponsor a kid in Metro Kenya, yeah, they get to go to Sunday school, but your sponsorship for a kid in Kenya gives that kid a hot meal a day. For most of those kids, that's their food that they get through the sponsorship that people like you guys provide. I saw one of the kids in Kenya. It was after Sunday school, and we were making sure they got their food for the day. And I saw one little boy, because usually the kids are so hungry, they're just scarfing up the food. But I saw this one little boy, he took his jacket like this, and he, hold this, honey, hold that, hold it. And I saw him take the food and put it in his jacket like this. Thank you. And I looked at one of the staff, I said, does he just don't like the food? He said, no, Pastor Bill, he's got 3 siblings. They are not sponsored. You know. He's sponsored. His brothers and sisters aren't sponsored. So what he does, he takes his food. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. So I'll be out there. The team will be out there. I was in Ethiopia. And one of the girls from Metro, she said, Pastor Bill, we've got this little boy. And somebody dropped him off. He's laying on the side of the road. We don't know what to do. I said, okay, send me a picture. Yenny, can you give me that first picture there? And so these kids that live in these tough parts of the world, they get these tumors. Long story, a lot of medical reasons. We don't have to get into all the details. But so she sent me that picture, and they were trying to feed him. There's a hole in that tumor, so they were trying to take a straw and feed the kid, but he wasn't getting enough nutrition, so we knew he was going to die. I said, let's get him on a plane. Let's get him to the U.S. I've got some Christian doctors. Maybe we can save his life. They said, Pastor Bill, we can't get him on a plane. I said, look, I can wire the money. What do we? She said, no, he was born in the bush, so he doesn't have a birth certificate. So you guys know how this works. No birth certificate, can't get the passport, no plane ride. I said, all right. I said, so let me get the story straight. If we could get him a birth certificate, we can get him out of there and maybe save his life. She said, yes, sir. I said, I'll be there tomorrow. You heard what I said. I'll get on the plane. I'll be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I got there, and you know what I did. See, this is a little thing that'll help you. Whenever you travel, don't take Sing dollars. No, yeah, it's not going to get you far. Like the sponsorship's 45 Sing dollars, and that makes a big difference, particularly with these kids in Africa. But see, when you go with me and we get on the front line, you always got to bring American money. You know how this goes. So I got there. Huh, you know what I did? I found a guy that could make fake birth certificates. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't work well in your culture, does it? I get it. I know I took a risk by saying that. And I knew that, but this is the last service, and I'm thinking I'm probably never going to be invited back here again. So I'm going to unload the whole truck on you in this last service. So come on, Jesus. Come on. Come on, give God a praise. Some of you need to learn. Sometimes you just got to break the rules. Uh-oh. Let me talk to the cheap seats. Sometimes you just got to break the rules. Amen? Okay, come on. Come on. Some of you are getting this. I told you this is the last service. I'll be out of your way soon. I'll go to Malaysia. They don't like me either. I'm heading in that direction. So we got the fake birth certificate, got a fake passport, got the kid to America. But all my doctor friends said, preacher, they said, look, this kid's going to die. He's not going to make it. I said, look, can you try? I finally found one doctor. He was at Miami Children's Hospital. And he said, look, we will do the operation. We will bring interns in. It'll be a teaching class. He said, but just so you know, preacher, you're going to have to sign a waiver that says this kid's not going to make it. I said, doc, I'll sign the waiver, but please just make me a promise. He said, what's that? I said, don't give up on the boy. See, there was somebody who didn't give up on me. That's why I'm here with you guys today. Somebody saw something in me that even my own mother did not see. They did the operation. It's about seven and a half hours. One of the nurses came in. I was in the waiting room. And she said his lungs have collapsed. One of his kidneys failing. I said, the doctor told me to tell you he's dying. I said, is he dead yet? She said, no, but he's dying. I said, I'm asking you, is he dead yet? She said, no. I said, with all due respect, go back in the operating room, remind the surgeon, we made a deal. Don't give up. Don't give up. I remember I put my head against the wall in the waiting room. You know what I said. I said, he shall live and not die. He shall live and not die. Yeah. What comes out of the little boy that nobody left on the side of the road? Yenny, you got another picture there? That's after the surgery. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give God a praise. Take a good look, folks. Take a good look. Some of you ought to be jumping up and down right now. I know that's not part of your culture. You guys don't jump up and down here. But I'm going to get some of you to jump up and down before I walk out of here. Because some of you need to get what you're seeing right there. What you're seeing right here. See, because when I got to New York and I found somebody that heard the story in a service just like this, and one lady, ordinary lady, sitting in a service just like this, another ordinary service, she said, Pastor Bill, I want to sponsor that little boy. She prayed for that boy. She was there at the surgery. She prayed. Oh, but see, if that was just enough, they did a good job. I mean, it was great. But see, here's the last part of the story. Because this story that I just told you, that happened 10 years ago. That's 10 years ago. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what happens to these kids? What happens to the kid that nobody wanted? Yeah. That's why people wonder. What happened to you, Pastor Bill? Yeah. That's why I'm here. That's why this is important today. And that one sponsor lady, I found out not long ago what this little boy's doing now. Yeah. You got that other picture, Yenny? Yeah. That's him now. He's a Sunday school teacher. He's a Sunday school teacher. He's teaching little kids that were just like him that nobody wanted. 10 years. What you have seen in these last couple of minutes, you've seen this little boy's life go full circle. You saw the kid that was left on the road, and then a sponsor said, can't do everything, but I can do something. And now, I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. And I'm proud for that sponsor that made a difference. So, that's what this is. I'll stay here all time I need to this afternoon to serve you. Our team will be there, help you. You can pick a kid from Metro Kenya, Metro Philippines. Maybe some of you can sponsor one, two. I don't know who's here. I don't know all you guys. Maybe some of you can do a lot. Maybe somebody can do something. But all I'm saying is, that's what this is. Pastor, again, thank you for allowing me to share this. Thank you. And I appreciate you guys. Thank you for caring. Thank you very much. Thank you. I want you to get your Bible out quickly. I will not be in front of you long. And usually when a preacher says that, you know he's lying. So just pray for him. But I'm going to talk to you for a few moments. I know we're going to move right into communion after I'm done speaking. But I want you to follow me along for a few moments. Because many of my messages, whether it's on television, whether it's in a meeting like this, a lot of those messages are based on people asking me questions and then me trying to answer the question that they ask me. Sometimes it's an easy question, sometimes a hard question. But this question, I've got a lot after this Ukraine situation that I've been in. And people say, Pastor Bill, you saw those kids, the little boy got his tongue gone. What did you see? What did you see with the little girl that got her ear chopped off? And these 95 kids tonight, what are we going to do? How can we get them back home? And the questions have come rapid fire to me, especially in these last couple of weeks after the situation that I was in. What did you see, Pastor Bill? What has moved you? What has made you do at this point in your life to go back into the war zone and do this? What did you see? The question begs to be answered. The problem with this question is you cannot answer this question collectively. This cannot be answered in a group. The only way this question I'm going to ask you can be answered is if you guys can do this individually. This is not a cumulative response today. This is going to be an individual response. So if there was a title for this last sermon, this last service, from my part, that's the title, and that's the question. It's one and the same. And together, individually, we're going to have to try to answer this question. What do you see? What do you see? I want you to open to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. We're going to go through the first 8 verses. In the interest of time, we're going to hit 3 verses. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm not going to talk to you in Greek a lot. I don't want to bore you with that. My Greek is better than my Singlish. So please forgive me. I apologize. So I'm going to stay with the Greek, if that's okay with you guys. But I want you to watch, because this message could be very easily used by most pastors or preachers as an Easter message, because it's the basis of the first Easter, where Jesus has 3 of his closest friends. They come to the tomb, the stone is moved, the tomb is empty, and 3 of Jesus's closest friends, the ones that he knew, Mary, Peter, John, the 3 that were the closest to him, they come to the empty tomb, they look in, and I wish I was there. I wish a couple of us could have been there, because if we were there, I'd ask them the question But I'm asking you, what do you see? I wish I could have been here and said, Mary, you knew Jesus. You heard his message. You saw the miracles. You were there. You knew him. You know the man. What do you see? Mary, stone's moved. What do you see? Oh, I wish I was there. I wish I could have been there when Peter came to the tomb. Peter, the guy that walked on water, he should know what he's looking at. He was a miracle. He walked on water. He lived the miracle. I wish I could have asked Peter, what do you see, Peter? You see, stones moved. The grave clothes are there. What do you see? And then I wish John, the other disciple, wish I could have asked him, what do you see, John? You are a worshiper. You are the younger ones of the disciples. What do you see? So follow me closely, and then I'll be finished. But somewhere, somehow, in these few moments, my prayer for this service is to you be answering the question for yourself. What do you see? What do you see? John chapter 20, starting at the first verse. John 20, verse number 1. In the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene. She came early. She was not Singaporean. Do you guys ever get up early on Singapore? Like there were no cars this morning. I was up at 5:30. There was nobody there. It was me. I was the only one wandering around. Just an observation. Mary comes early when it was yet dark. Just like this morning. She came to the sepulcher, and she sees the stone taken away. Now, when you look in your Bible, if it's kind of a newer translation or whatever, this word see or seeth, that word see or seeth in the Greek is a very interesting word in verse 1. Your Bible says she sees. And in the Greek, that's the Greek word blepo. Bring that up on the screen, guys, because I want everybody to see this. Blepo. Mary saw. Blepo. She saw. That word blepo in the Greek, let me see what that's, what does that say? She saw with her eyes. See, that word blepo means she sees. Oh, stone's moved. Oh, grave's empty. Oh. She doesn't understand what she's looking at. So I would ask all of you, how is that even possible? I wish somebody would help me understand, because if anybody should have understood what she's looking at when she looks in the empty tomb, it should have been Mary. She knew the man. She heard the message. She saw the miracles. And now she's looking at what you and I would call a fulfilled prophecy. But when she looks in, it's seeth or see, the Greek word blepo, which means she goes, oh, she only sees with her eyes. Oh. Stone's moved. Oh, tomb's empty. Oh, I don't understand what I'm looking at. What do you see, Mary? Blepo. Blepo. Give me a picture, Yenny, if you will, please. I'm going to show you some things that you would not normally see on a Sunday morning. But like I said, I'm sure I won't be invited back again, so I'm going to give you my best shot. I'm going to walk you through it, so take a good look. This was in Haiti. Two of our Metro girls were just finishing doing Sunday school, and they're driving back to the Metro compound, and they saw this woman, obviously a pregnant woman, laying on the side of the road. Everybody was walking by. Nobody was helping. Our girls pulled the truck over, jump out. They can't speak the language, but they're trying to find out how they could help her. Blood coming out of her nose, blood coming out of her mouth. Everybody walks by. I understand that. I get it. Our girls said, we got to do something. They picked the woman up, put her in the Sunday school truck, get her to the hospital. But when they get her to the hospital, Huh. They found out she was not pregnant as she thought. Yenny, give me that next picture. They got her to the hospital. Yeah. I told you this wasn't going to be a normal Sunday service. I tried to tell you. But they already took the offering, so it's too late now. You missed your shot. This tumor had been growing inside this woman for years. See, 30 seconds ago, you thought you were looking at a pregnant woman. I guess you were wrong, weren't you? So then I've got to ask you, I wonder what else you could be wrong about in life. That you are so convinced you know something, maybe you're not as smart as you think you are. Huh. Mary comes to the tomb. She looks in. She should know what she's looking at. She understands. She should know. She had the background. She looks in, but it says she sees, oh, blepo. She only saw with her eyes. She didn't get it. You ever been around people that shouldn't understand something, but don't? Doesn't that just make you irritated? You want to just slap somebody in the head? I get to do it because I'm Pastor Bill. And I live in New York, so I can get away with stuff some people can't get away with. Huh? What do you see, Mary? That's the question. Well, wait a minute. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the rest. Let's go to verse 6 real quick. I want you to go to number 6. Now, Peter comes to the tomb. He goes into the sepulcher, and he sees the linen clothes. Huh. Now, this is Peter. All right. And he goes in, and it's the same word in your Bible, see or seeth, in verse 6 when Peter looks in. Same word in verse 6 as it was when Mary looked in verse 1. Oh, but see, when you read it in Greek, it's not the same word. When Mary looked in verse 1, it's the Greek word blepo. She just saw with her eyes. She didn't get it. Couldn't grasp it. Should have been able to, but she didn't. But now, put that back up, guys. When Peter saw it. And he sees the linen clothes. When he saw, now it's a different Greek word. It's see in your Bible, but it's a different Greek word than see in verse 1. See, when Peter looks in, now it's the Greek word theorio, which is where we get the English word theory. Peter looks in, and he saw theorio. He looks in the tomb. He's trying to get a what? A theory, a hypothesis. He's trying to figure out what he's looking at. What do you see, Peter? You walked on water. You're seeing the empty grave clothes. You should know exactly. Should not even be a question of what you're looking at. But it's theorio. Is he alive? I don't know. He said he would rise. I'm not convinced. I want to believe it, but now I don't know. The grave clothes are empty. The tomb is empty. Is Jesus alive? I don't know. What is he doing? He's trying to do what? He's trying to figure out what he's looking at. Huh. Mm-hmm. It's all about, He saw what? What did he see, Yenny? He saw with his mind. Correct? Do we have that slide? On Peter? Yeah. Peter saw only with his mind. Theorio. When Mary looked in, she only saw with her eyes. She couldn't get it. Now Peter, he's looking with his mind. See, I've been coming here for 25 years. I understand this culture better than most Americans. I love you guys. Because it's all about this, isn't it? I get you guys. I love you. It's all about the brain. Also, that's why you tell your kids to get a degree, even if it's a nothing degree, even if the kid's not smart. Get the degree, you moron. Get the degree. I get it. It's part of the culture. I love you guys. Because it's all about this. It's all about the smarts. Peter looks in. He saw with his mind. I think he was from Singapore. When you read it in the Greek, I'm telling you, it says he was from Singapore. I'm just messing with you. What do we see, Peter? He saw with his mind. He's trying to figure it out. Theorio. Putting together a theory. Jenny, give me another picture real quick. Let's see what else we got. What do you got? Oh, yeah. What do you see here? See, this isn't quite as easy to figure out as my other pictures. So let's, this is in Haiti. Do we have a close up of that, Jenny? Can you bring me? Yeah. See, I take pictures so I can show them to you guys, because if I don't show you a picture, you think I'm lying. So I gotta take the stupid picture to communicate for people to understand real life. That's what today is. I remember, because it was in Haiti, and I had a little boy. I don't know if you've ever held a child and have them die in your arms. Maybe some of you have. Maybe you have not. But I had this little boy. He'd been starved out. He wasn't making it. And when a child is dying because of starvation, they'll cry for a long time, and then towards the end, they stop crying. It's just, they're done. And I was holding him, and his chest was going up and down. And he stopped crying. And then finally he looked up at me. And his eyes rolled back, and he was gone. Go with me someday. It's all I've ever asked people. Walk with me. Go with me. Get close enough to the wounds of the body of Christ. Let the urgency burn inside. That's all I've ever asked people. Whether it's to get a kid in Kenya, food for a day. It's all I've ever asked. And I saw that boy die. And then I understood what the government had done. What you are looking at here is what the government does. This is the government of Haiti. You know what they do? They take water, mix it with dirt, and make mud, and that's what they do. They actually call these mud pies. They put them outside. This is where I took this picture. They lay them outside, let them harden in the sun. They stack them in piles, so when the kids that are starving to death, literally, are crying uncontrollably, the government feeds them dirt. You didn't know that, did you? Well, you don't. You know it now. Don't you? And see, the interesting thing, when you do know something, you can't unknow it, can you? Nope. Can't know it. Can't know it. Can't unknow it either. So the government feeds them dirt. It makes the kids stop crying until they die. What do you see now? Maybe that's the real existential question for the service. Is it not? Maybe. Take the picture down yet. What do you see, Mary? Mary looks in. Blepo. She only sees with her eyes. Peter comes in. Theorio. He sees with his mind. But wait a minute, I got one more. Look here. Look. Verse 8. John, the other disciple, the young man. He comes in and he saw. He saw. Same word as the other ones. See, saw, yeah. Mary looked in, blepo, saw with her eyes. Peter looks in, sees with his mind. John comes in, same word. Oh, but no, but in verse 8, when John looks in, it's a different Greek word again. Different Greek word. What is it? I think it's a Greek word, eido. Yep. When John saw, eido. E-I-D-O, silent E in Greek. Yeah. When he saw, how did he see? How did he see that, Jenny? Let's take a look. He looked in. And when you look at the transliteration of the Greek here, it's perfect. He looked. He saw. And he believed. Oh, he looked, you know, he's alive. Oh, Jesus is alive. He didn't have to, my God. He didn't question it. It wasn't an issue. He didn't have to make a theory. He didn't wonder. He looked and goes, he's alive. I knew. He would do exactly what he said he was going to do. And he's alive. It's an old song we used to sing in church. Some of you young people don't know the song because you don't know anything. I love that old song. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Some of you old folks know that one, don't you? Yeah, you do. How do you know? John said, he lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. I know. Exactly. That was pretty good pronunciation there. I like it. That sounds better than the Greek translation. Well done, kiddo. Well done. Mary looks in, just sees with her eyes. Peter looks in, sees with his mind. John looks in and goes, he's alive. I wish I could take everything that I could say this morning. I know our time's gone. But I ask you, what do you see? What do you see? When you see, that's why I take people to the Philippines. That's why I take people and let them see what one meal a day can... Just, what do you see, man? What do you see? Do you get it? I wish some of you could have gone with me on this first Ukraine run. So, I've done 4 tours to Ukraine. On the second one, I was there when the Russians blew up a house. And I saw one of the Ukrainian soldiers pick up a little boy that was in the back of the house, blown up. And you'll see him. I was there. I was holding the phone. And the Ukrainian soldier brings the little boy out, and he's laying him on the ground like this, and you'll see it. And the medics are trying to save the kid's life. And I'm just standing there, and I'm watching it. But when you watch this video, you'll see the soldier. He's standing guard. The soldier's standing guard, watching the medics trying to save the kid's life. He's holding his rifle. He's standing guard. And the little boy didn't make it. But even when they picked the dead boy up and put him in the ambulance, I watched the soldier walk like this as the boy was put in the ambulance. And when the ambulance was driving away, I saw that soldier just bow his head. In the midst of it all, he was standing guard. I show you this video only because I wanted you guys to know. For 50 years, I've been standing guard. For a generation, I've been trying to stand guard for little kids that were just like me. That's why I'm doing this thing in Ukraine. That's why we're going to get those guys out there tonight. And I'm going to get all of them out till I take this jacket off. Because somebody's got to stand guard. Because I saw something. I saw that little boy with his tongue cut out. I can't explain this to you guys. You know that. But it's going to take somebody to see beyond themselves and see the needs and the urgency and allow the Holy Spirit to break your heart with the things that break his heart. So I take you to Ukraine. She was trying to explain that she just put the boy in the back room and a shell had hit the front of the house and the back of the house, and the whole thing fell in on the little one. And the rescue crews came in, they pulled him out of the rubble, laid him on the ground, and the medics are trying to resuscitate him.
And there's a soldier standing there, and you can see him. You can see in the shadow. He's holding his rifle, and he's standing over the boy while the medics are trying to, just trying to
just
save
stand
him.
A guard. Stand and a guard. That's all.
There's a word in Ukrainian, Zasnik. It means defender. But there's something about some of these guys. When there's a little boy, little girl that's been shot or killed, they stand there. They stand there. The medics are working on the kid, a guard, and they're standing
stand a guard
and watching. And this little guy didn't make it, but still, because they were putting him in the ambulance, and he's done. But the soldiers still stand, and he stayed guard. Stand guard. Let me tell you something. I've spent my whole life to try to be a guardian. I've been trying to stand guard to kids all over the world, trying to do the best that I can after all these years to stand guard. I've tried to stand guard for those. Maybe some make it, some don't. But somebody has to stand guard. Thank you for letting me. I'll just let me stand guard. Stand watch. Somebody has to.
So, Father, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Let us see what you want us to see. And ask ourselves the question, what do we really see? Because there's still a little boy sitting on a corner. A little girl being abused. A little kid. Let us see what we need to see today. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound. And let it be, come on. And let it be, love you.